What is going on, everybody? This is Party Card Sports Disc Golf Edition. Back again with my boy Nate.
What's going on, everybody? Your boys are back at it again, picking up right where the DGPT left off, the Cascade Challenge, new tournament, and kind of as we expected, looking at the caddy book from last week, it was fucking tight.
Tight fairways.
Tight. Tight like a tiger. You know, we look at the MPO field, you know, it was great to see Ricky play extremely well, you know, still coming off his injuries and the inflammation in his body, you know, getting his first win of the year.
Hey, he looked really good. What did I say? What did I say?
Look at my eyes. Roll him.
Hooper, get off the pot, and he's got off the pot. He is
when he's been healthy. At the end of his
chain, he's not barking no more. He's broken that chain.
Look, when he's been healthy, he's played extremely well. If he can stay healthy, you know, I can't see why he can't win Worlds again.
Ooh, I said the same thing earlier.
If he can stay healthy.
Guess who said that first?
You didn't say anything about him staying healthy.
I said that first. Ricky's one of the best players in the league, but he has a pooper out of the pot. And everybody said, Cody, you're being too harsh. You're being too harsh. Blah, 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 blah. And I wasn't being too harsh. I was telling him what he needed to hear so he'd go get this dub.
You think he heard that?
Ricky Wysocki, if you're listening in, we know you're listening. I probably motivated him for sure.
For sure, he says. Matt Bell and Evan Scott, you know, tied for second. James Conrad had the lead going in the final round, shits the bed again, and ends up in fourth place. He should have had a four-stroke lead going into the second round, but on the 18th hole, or should have had a four-stroke lead going into the final round, but in the second round, on hole 18, he four putts. So that was great.
Not like it great. Hurt you.
No, it didn't in hindsight. But, you know, we'll get to the pick-ems later. Could have been worth some extra points. FPO, Cat Merch,
you know, again,
gets her second win of the season.
Without Paige or Tatar being there.
Tatar was in her first win at Jonesboro. Tatar did compete at Jonesboro, but Paige Pierce did not.
You sure about that?
I'm sure about that.
When I was talking to other people this week, they said that she
Tatar was at Jonesboro.
I don't think it was Jonesboro. It was when we were at GBO.
Which was Jonesboro.
I thought it was Waco.
Nope, it was Jonesboro.
Or Texas State.
It was Jonesboro.
Are you sure?
I am 99.9% sure it was Jonesboro. And she won, and Tatar was there. I even want to say Paige Pierce was there, but I don't think she was.
Paige Pierce was there. I can tell you that for a fact.
But Tatar was there at Jonesboro.
Oh, she was there during Jonesboro. Okay. You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Oh, so she does have a win over Tatar. Nice.
Yeah, sure.
Should not have won over Paige.
Well, turns out, you know, when she doesn't show the fuck up. Dude, look through that roster. Do you still have that up?
Which roster? Jonesboro?
Jonesboro.
Yeah.
Because I swear Paige Pierce played in that.
It's going to be a long scroller.
Because I swear.
Did she DNF? No, she's not there.
You're 100% sure she's not there.
I just scrolled through the entire thing. There's only 40 people.
Oh, yeah. That would go by pretty quick.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
no,
yeah, she did not play at Jonesboro. But anyways, yeah. So, Cat Merch gets her second win. Sayonara.
Good for her.
Big deal.
You're so harsh on Cat.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I think she's a good FPO player, but she's not on the same level as Tatar. I don't think she's on the same level as Paige Pierce when Paige Pierce is actually playing good. But I don't think Paige Pierce, for some reason, isn't playing as much on these pro tour events, and I think she's lost a step in this competitive field.
Paige, I don't think she trained as hard on the offseason. Now that I'm kind of like watching her game, I feel like she took a kind of a weak offseason and she's probably just now getting to full swing of things, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's what I think, at least. From just watching.
We shall see. Sayonara, you know, gets her third podium finish, finishing second.
Sayonara playing amazing this year, in my opinion.
For her, I believe, her first year on tour, yeah, she's doing pretty goddamn good.
I think that's the person to look out for in the future, to be honest.
I don't know.
A lot of people. I mean,
the FPO fields, I think, is getting, you know, more competitive by the week.
I like it. To be honest, it's good for disc golf. You know how we were talking about earlier in the year? It's basically Paige and Tatar to lose, win with a handful of Katrina Allen, maybe a Jennifer Allen in there once in a while thing. Kat Mersh. But we weren't even talking about Kat Mersh at the beginning of the year.
We are now.
It's really seemed like this year there are, yes, Tatar, podiums for winning. Paige coming in and winning a couple at this point. Kat Mersh winning a couple at this point. But honestly, it's not just a 2-3-horse race. I see Sayonara playing good. Owen Scroggins coming in. She can't throw that far, and she's just outplaying people on the scramble and the greens. Yeah, it's getting way more competitive on the FPO side for sure. I like it. Finally, this is what the FPO needs. They need competition every week. It shouldn't be, hey, this person can come out and dominate.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of watching that.
No, we're not. No,
more frequent than not with Tatar, but you know, we talk about more competitive players. We talk about Holland Hanlon, who finished tied for third. You know, find herself back in the top five again this season. She only has 2 finishes outside the top 10. Only 4 finishes outside the top 5 and 1 win, but that 1 win wasn't a pro tour event. Holland Hanlon, if she can put it all together, I think she is definitely a player in the FPO field that can compete with the Kat Mersh, even the Tatars, the Paige Pierce. But Holland Hanlon, just for some reason, always has, you know, a few holes every round that just...
You keep going. You just keep going. I looked at something from the scores from today. You just go ahead and keep going.
And I'm
looking forward to the scores from today, and I'm just slapping my head.
About Tatar just running away with it again?
No. I actually foresaw that coming, to be honest.
Turns out she's
she already had a lead going into it. Tatar usually doesn't make a mistake in the second round. Usually she has an off third round, if I'm not mistaken, but usually finishes off in the fourth round. That's kind of her play style I've seen in the past. So I didn't foresee her misstepping this round. I think if Paige wants to make a comeback for that, then it's going to be in the third round. That, as we're talking about FPO, but that's not what I was looking at. What I was looking at was completely different. It was in the MPO.
For what's going on right now, Portland.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and get on to Portland Open. The first Elite Plus in the Elite Series. So it's 4 rounds. So we did our pick'ems, and we'll get to that later. We did our pick'ems off the mics earlier in the week. So we are committed to our picks. But
a lot of new names in the top 10, to be honest.
They're not new.
New. I'm putting quotation marks around new. I mean new for the year. We don't see these we don't see these guys a whole lot outside of Calvin and Isaac and James.
Oh, Proctor.
Yeah.
I mean, Gossage doesn't surprise me. Corey Ellis doesn't surprise me.
Gossage kind of surprises me on this type of course.
No, but does not surprise me at all.
It does to me.
It does not. The dude fucking smashes forehands. He smashes backhands. He putts very well. He's got a roller.
Meh.
He doesn't miss by a lot.
Lackluster at best.
He's a better James Proctor than James Proctor is.
Stop that. Stop that blasphemy.
Corey Ellis is...
How many top tens has James Proctor had this year?
I'm not...
Way more than Aaron Gossage.
And Corey Ellis is a better AB than AB is.
You shut your dirty whore mouth.
I'm going to say that because they both play for Discraft.
You shut your dirty whore mouth right
Corey
now.
Ellis is better than AB.
AB would smoke Aaron Gossage. If they played
he's also Discraft.
If they played a one-on-one versus each other in like a skins match, AB's rocking them.
Hey, I'm just saying, did AB go toe-to-toe with Paul McBeth in Worlds? No, Aaron Gossage did.
Who cares?
And forced him to a playoff.
Who cares? I mean, did he win?
He lost, but
did he win? No, he didn't.
But he was there.
He didn't win.
And that's half the battle.
He didn't win.
You wanna fix that?
Dude, this is pissing me off. You just scrambling up all the cords.
That a baby. But no, they're playing on a ball golf type of course. Glendevere East and West. You know, 2 on each. two on West, two on East. What's weird about
Bomber this courses?
It's a long course.
Everything I watched on
it's not a bomber
last year's coverage.
Completely different.
It's not completely different. It's completely different. One course that's different. The other course is still the same.
No, the other course they have one same hole, and everything else is different. It's a completely different course.
Whatever.
Both courses are basically
no wonder our picks are playing like crap. Then why do they do this? This is annoying.
No, I'm just annoying.
They're trying to push vets out.
I'm gonna add this to my hot takes now.
Annoying. They're trying to push vets out. It's ridiculous.
So, what's weird about these two courses is the amount of
boys play.
Is the amount of mandatories. On each course. There's only five holes that don't have a mandatory on the West course.
Dumb.
There's only six holes that don't have a mandatory on the East course. And dumb. It's weird and maybe a coincidence that a few weeks ago, Simon Lazat has a tweet about how more mandos should be placed on courses to eliminate some of, basically players cheating the holes. And then here's the Portland Open where he's the defending champ. And you have holes just riddled by mandatories.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. So, food for thought there. Other than that, the MPO, basically it's the same inactive as Paul's overseas. Chris Dickerson's not there.
Good move.
Kyle Klein's not there. FPO, it's all hands on deck. Paige Pierce, Owen Scoggins, Kristen Tatar, all active on the FPO field.
I think honestly this is a good move for Paul to be gone during this stretch. Solid move. They've changed all these courses. Not great. They're trying to screw the veterans. Good move by Paul to go over to Europe.
Oh my god. I just want to get in the fucking discussion topic right the fuck now.
I still think, Tatar's not out of range, to be honest. Like, usually you'd see this, six strokes. I mean, that's not the biggest lead she's ever had going into the last round. It's not the last round, but it's not the biggest lead she's had all year.
I thought she had, five strokes going into the round.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so not she only bad. Picked up one more stroke.
She had one, actually one stroke going in.
Oh, one stroke.
Yeah, and she gained five.
Oh, well, turns out she's pretty good.
She had a great round. She shot a 59.
So, obviously, we're recording this Friday night after the second round. Who's the top, name the top five for MPO. It's Gossage, Ellis, Heimberg, and who
right
the
now?
Other two? Yeah.
Right now, Cordy Ellis.
Cordy Ellis.
Which is out of left field for me. I didn't suspect him being up this high. Calvin in second. Aaron Gossage, second. Isaac Robinson, second. And Alden Harris. I have not heard that name in fifth. And Carter Ahenreens?
Aarons.
Gosh, yeah. Who spells Aarons like that?
That person has come out of nowhere, and last couple weeks has been at the top. So that's going to be something to watch.
Drew Gibson's out of nowhere too. And doing this, I mean, he has the arm for it,
and he's got the rollers. He's got the shots. He just hasn't been consistent. So I'm surprised, but I'm also not surprised.
And you know who's just sitting in the wings?
I have a feeling you're about to tell
just
everybody.
Looking at these top guys. Some guys just sitting right at 10th place, just putting his hands together, back and forth. Simon Lazat.
Defending champ.
Just looking at everybody saying, don't mess up.
I don't think anyone's going to mess up at this point. FPO-wise, obviously, there's Tatar at top, just kind of doing what she does.
I honestly believe, if Tatar doesn't put together another 59 again, I see her third rounds usually don't go super. So I'm thinking maybe someone can make a run if they have a good round. Sayonara, back-to-back 64s, playing really, really consistent. It's going to take a bit.
Is she sitting in second?
Yeah. But Paige isn't too far off either. I mean, if she can make up, let's say, 4 strokes in this third round, she's within fighting distance.
4 strokes in a round, that's...
Paul, you've seen Paul make up 6 before.
Yeah, well, he's pretty goddamn good, it turns out, sometimes.
Hey, there's more than one 5-time. That's all I'm saying. I think, other than that, I mean, Julian Korver put up a great round today of 62. I don't think Ella Hansen, and that's just my opinion, has it in the tank. Owen would have to play so much better. This is too long of a course, really, for her.
I think so, yeah. But I was wrong when I said that about OTB, so...
But I mean, she put up a good second round, 65, but I mean, you're going to have to put up a sub 60, 61, 60 round, in my opinion.
At this point in the FPO division, if Tatar gets out to a lead, you have to hope for her to fuck up.
I would say, like, Paige, for instance, put up a 66 and a 65. I would think if she wants to make up, you know, she wants to actually try to get within fighting range.
Shoot a 59.
She also has to shoot a 59. Yep. 58. I think, in my opinion, I think you have to shoot better than a 59.
So I want to ask one question, and then we're going to move on to the pick'ems. I think it's only a matter of time that Tatar becomes the first FPO player to become 1,000 rated.
Oh, I thought you were about to say some dumb crap that we saw on a... Facebook earlier today, but yeah, for sure, maybe.
What did we see on Facebook earlier?
Someone posted something like, "At what point is Christian Tatar going to have to play MPO?" Yeah. And I rolled my eyes so hard because, she's shooting minus 14 on a course that is a thousand plus less than what the guys are shooting.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's shooting minus 14 with the guys. She's shooting plus 4. It's just
I don't think it's that big of a difference.
Well, what happened when Paige played up in MPO?
Yeah, she got her fucking shit canned.
Yeah.
But she's also not almost 1,000 rated for a female.
At one point in time, she was very close.
She was not. No. I don't think she was ever 990. Tatar's 991.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised after next Tuesday when things... Is it next Tuesday or the following Tuesday? Like, everything gets updated. Thanks to following Tuesday.
I don't care.
I would not be surprised to see Tatar 995, 98.
Maybe. Okay. So I know rounds are all justified by who else is playing, you know, all that, right? So how good is a 1,000 rated player, female player, compared to a guy's rating? Like, where is that sitting at in your opinion?
Well, obviously they mostly play slightly different.
No, coaches. Yeah. No. It's all I'm saying. It's all relative to who you're playing, when you're playing. You know, so obviously Tatar is playing other females. Right. That's why the ratings are a little bit.
So you're telling me if I took just Tatar being the best female at, let's just say she's 1,000 rated.
Yes.
And I take Joe Schmo, who's not even a touring pro, because touring pros.
I'm not saying what she win. I'm saying, like, where would you put that right in a comparison or a.
So if I took Tatar at 1,000 rated,
yes,
and I took Joe Schmo, who's also 1,000 rated, I'm going to say that Joe Schmo.
Well, no, yeah, I agree with you on that.
I'm still going to say that's probably about a 5-stroke difference, maybe 6-stroke difference.
No, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, like, would it be, if it was like MPO, would it be like 970?
Well, 5 strokes on 1,000 would put it about 960-ish.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was asking you.
Yeah.
You think that's fair?
I would think that's relatively fair.
Well, then half the time she could actually probably keep up with most.
I think she, as an MPO player, she would not be close to 1,000 rated. She would be 960, 970 rated, I think.
Which a lot of fields have those 960, 970, unless it's one of these super...
Yeah, I mean, there's no touring pro that's 960.
Basically, what I'm getting at is, how close is she to actually being, like, top 50 in PO?
Oh, I think she can compete at the top 50.
You think so?
Yeah. Now, I think anything above that's just gravy. She'd have to just shoot absolutely lights out and get some help. But
so,
especially when they're playing an MPO layout, I mean, she can, you know, compared to you and me, she can fucking bomb.
Oh, she'd beat the shit out of me.
But
it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't even be a match.
Oh, it'd be a match.
I could outdrive her, probably. No, I couldn't outdrive her. Why am I even saying that? I couldn't outdrive her. Couldn't out upshot her. Couldn't outputt her.
Yeah, you might be able to out upshot her. She kind of leaks some of those upshots sometimes.
But I'm going to get flustered the moment a girl fucking outdrives me on the first fucking throw. So I'm going to be mentally out of it.
I can never.
And her mental game's like not going to even be flustered. So she's obviously better than MA1 guy. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Mm.
I just like now you said she can compete top 50, right?
I think so.
We have top 50 right here. In this tournament, I'm going to start with Nicola Castro.
Shit in the bed. I think she could beat him. I mean,
that's a hot take.
Not a week in, week out, but I think she could beat him.
Okay. How about Nathan Sexton?
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
You think she could beat Nate Sexton?
Yeah. I mean,
are you on crack?
I mean, Papa Nate is Papa Nate.
Are you on crack?
When it comes to consistency, he just hasn't had it at a competitive level for some time.
I'm not even asking questions. I'm not even asking a question. You are so far brown. Your nose is brown right now. It's a very brown color.
Yeah, it is.
You're ridiculous. You're ridiculous.
So you don't think that she could compete in the MPO field in the top 50? Not at all.
No.
Like 0%.
No.
So when Paige
That's why when I saw that post, I'm like, you're ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
There's just not a chance. Like, she, at this point in time, you can say she's having the best run that any FPO has ever had besides Paige. And you can make the argument Paige didn't have the same competition, whatever. But she's arguably having the greatest run as an FPO player ever. And I don't think she makes top three-fourths of MPO.
Well, most of these tournaments are, what, 140 deep?
No, like 120 in this one. So 110.
110? Yeah, I think she can place like 50 or 60 in there.
Okay. I'm just rolling my eye. Like, the only reason this conversation got brought up is because I saw that post on Facebook, and I'm just like, come on now.
Personally, I would not like to see her play in the MPO field because then I won't.
There's no reason to.
I won't get to see her on coverage, and that's like, you know, the best part about watching FPO coverage is watching her play because she does amazing things with the discs. And
you know what's bad? I don't even dislike her at all. I don't dislike her game. I don't dislike her. I think she's cool. Whatever. The reason why I go against her is because everybody else is so far up her butt. It's ridiculous.
That's a privilege.
She's quite literally the Tom Brady of FPO in PGA. Like, everybody just loves to dick ride her. Everybody loves it.
What's not to love? She's hot. She's good.
Here we go. Tom Brady effect.
Tom Brady's not hot.
Everyone just riding that wave. It's just ridiculous.
If she wasn't good, it would be completely different. She'd just be hot and then not on coverage.
If Tom Brady wasn't good, it'd be totally different.
It's like that time they put Hannah Macbeth on coverage just because, you know, it's Hannah Macbeth for, I think it was the Throw Pink tournament last year or 2 years ago. And, like, she was moderately attractive. And she should
be moderately attractive. That's ridiculous. No, it has nothing to do with her looks. Nothing.
Wrong.
Everyone literally is just so, so far up her butt. Riding. It's just ridiculous. Well, I don't. I'm going against her.
If she was ugly, I want to be. I want to be like
the argument. It's like the argument of like when Peyton and Tom, and no one really gave Peyton his praise. Everybody gave Tom Brady his praise. Everybody wanted Tom. Tom. This is same thing. Tatar. That's all it is.
What are we talking about here?
I want to see her lose because everybody likes her too damn much.
I mean, she does lose. She doesn't win all the time, but she doesn't lose by a lot. She's still usually
she's literally had second or third. Half a good year so far.
How would you say half
like, a what good I'm year? Saying is what I'm
she's
saying
missed
is
podium twice.
What
this year.
I'm saying is it's halfway through twice the year. It's halfway through the year, and everyone is already calling her the greatest of all time.
I've never heard anybody say that about Tatar.
Are you kidding me?
I have not heard.
I heard it from everyone. Greatest all time. Greatest all time. Greatest all time. All over the place. We're a half a year through this season. She wasn't like this last year. She won Worlds, right?
No, she was like this last year too.
No, she wasn't. Not like this.
I mean, not this dominant. No, but she won a lot
she's
last
had
year.
One dominant year, and now she's the greatest of all time.
No, she did pretty good last year,
everyone's
too. She dominated last year.
Listen, it was the same argument we get in with all sports. Everyone decides to crown people before they actually get the accolades.
I would not disagree.
So we're crowning this girl, and this is why I don't like
it. Woman. Woman.
We're crowning this woman before she even does even half the accolades of everyone that's come before her.
And here's the reason why. Because those people, those other women, didn't have the seasons she's putting together right now. Yes, they had good years, but they didn't have these kind of years where it's just podium, podium, win, 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 podium, missed a podium, another podium. She missed two podiums. That's it.
Still, people to this day don't give Paul the credit of greatest of all time.
Okay, the people that don't do that is just stupid. Because
that's what I'm saying. So people want to sit there and degrade Paul, even though
they're
he's
not degrading Paul,
even though saying that he has had these same dominant years, exact same type of years that
right.
This is.
Yeah, and six.
But just coach. Because Christian Tatar is attractive. And everybody loves her. They're just crowning her the GOAT.
I have not heard it's true. I haven't said it. And I haven't heard anyone else in our group of disc golfers say
that
she is the GOAT in the FPO field.
I've heard it.
I haven't heard it.
You haven't been out.
Apparently I haven't because I have not heard that. Now, would I be insinuating it? Absolutely. But I'm with you on the part where I can't definitively say that she is the GOAT unless I've had a few drinks and I'm just, like you said, trying to brown nose a little bit and get some
You
points.
Are brown nose. Your brown nose is brown right now.
God, I fucking wish.
Jesus.
I've had a little bit to drink.
Let's get into the pick'ems.
So, Beaver State Fling, we had a tie. So that was kind of cool.
Stupid. Should have won that. Got screwed.
There was 2 points on the line for Cascade Challenge, and you know what? Score 2 points for the good guys. Tying it up at 4-4. James Conrad finished ahead of Isaac Robinson.
Literally everyone I had the option to pick played the exact same, and then they all played worse in the very last round. But they were all tied in the third round. All of them. Just ridiculous.
But either way, I would have won. No matter who you would have picked that you could have picked.
So stupid.
That you could have picked.
I guess Matt Bell was the correct pick.
Yeah, you didn't even have him in your notes.
No.
But what I
would have suspected him shooting a 49 in the last round?
What I want to know is, fuck, you know, this in my notes doesn't make sense anymore after what happened today.
Mm-hmm.
This in my notes I have, what lucky horseshoe is in your fucking ass? Because I won all these extra points, and both times I've won, I missed out on extra points because my guy shit the bed in one round. Gannon Burr shit the round in round two, and instead of winning, he takes second. James Conrad shits the bed in fucking round three, and instead of getting me another point, he takes fourth. Bullshit.
So, I don't know what you're talking about because I've lost 3 fucking points in the last week.
No, you lost 2 points. Up until today, now you lost 2 more points. So you lost 4
which
points.
Which is so stupid. No, I think I should only lose 1.
Nope.
This is going to go under protest. This is going to go under protest because my player got injured. And a 999 should not go down as a loss. it should go down as a did not finish, and it should only be allowed to get 1 point.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
So
put it down as amendment, as a no. Argument.
So what had happened?
I'm challenging
is
the ruling.
Off the mic, we did everything off the mic. Cody dumb. Essentially drew the ace and had everyone to pick from other than Calvin Heimberg. I drew the eight. So in the top 10 for UDisc, I had Kyle Klein, who's not active in this tournament, and AB. Was not so going with stupid. AB. Cody decided to go with Eagle.
I was hindsight, sitting between Eagle and Ricky, sitting between both of them, thinking about who I actually wanted to pick later on in the next 2 weeks.
And DDO. Yep.
And I went with Eagle because I thought that this could be a win for him. And it matched up perfectly. 2 years ago, he won this. Last year, he was injured. Of course, it didn't work out for me. And I didn't pick Ricky. I picked Eagle. So stupid.
I went with Garrett Gerthy because that was basically a better pick than AB.
So freaking shitting the bed. Dumb, man.
I'll tell you what. I'll let you play for 1 point. Right now, I got 2 points.
Uh-huh.
Do you have the roster pulled up?
Yeah.
If you can pick a player, and I already know who you're going to pick, that's at least 2 strokes behind Gerthy.
2 strokes behind?
Yep.
Okay.
At least 2 strokes behind Gerthy. Uh-huh, uh-huh. If they come back and win, uh-huh. I will only take 1 point instead of 2. If they come back and beat Gerthy, and really that narrows it down to Nate Sexton.
It is the first thing that hit my head.
Yeah. All the other names on there, I don't recognize. So right now, you could say you're going to take Nate Sexton. If he comes back and beats Gerthy.
Do you get another point?
No.
Okay.
So I'm giving this to you. Right now, I'm giving it to you. You can pick any player that's 2 strokes or more behind Gerthy. And if they come back and beat Gerthy, I will only take 1 point and not 2. This is free. This is free. This is chump change. Cody, I'm giving you an option. I almost want to
take Andrew Marwied.
Marwied?
I almost want
to. That's a good one. Yeah. What's he at? Is he also two behind?
He's at +3.
Yeah, 2 behind. Because GG's 1.
Or Gavin Rathbun.
That's another good one. That's another one.
He shot a 60.
I tell you what. If you pick a player that's 5 strokes behind Gerthy,
ooh.
I'll take 0 points if they come back.
Noah Five-ish.
Five-ish?
Mm-hmm. What's I'll take at? Him.
At 6?
He's at +7.
So he's at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're
so I'm going.
So you're going 0 against 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm really not losing. There's yeah, not this is right. This could be a win for me.
It could be a huge win. Right. I'm giving you an opportunity.
I'm picking a guy that shot a 60 today. Noah Five-ish. Now I'm taking a big risk. I mean, I'm not really taking any risk, but
you're taking no risk.
Out of all the players, he shot a 60 today. Had a very rough first, and it might just be because he was a little nervous because he's a 989 rated player.
Yeah, but he's pretty good.
But he shot a 73 in the first round.
What a guy.
And a 60 today. So I'm going to take him.
Okay, so.
Now.
There you go.
Now.
I gave you an opportunity.
Now, before we get too much farther.
On what?
Nate, hit the lever. Listen here, everybody. Sad times again for the Eagle fan club. Hurt himself again. How can this be? He's on such a great run. Nothing in his way. Right to Worlds. What can go worse for this man? He's done nothing wrong. Let the boy play. How do you punish him so much for such a great guy, such a great player? Sad day for disc golf. Sad day for sunglasses. Sad day for the skater boys out there. Eagle, I'm going with you, brother. Come back. Be stronger than ever. Just not this year. Sorry, buddy.
Nailed that eulogy to a season basically. Just go ahead and put it to rest. Just put it 6 feet under. Your season's done, bud.
I had all the hope. I was his homer. I was pushing him to everyone. He's on the fast track to worlds. The end of his season is going to be one of the best ends of all time.
And you put him on a pedestal, and he shit the bed for you.
And then he got hurt again.
Well, I guess that's so sad. That means there's only one guy left on the pedestal for you, Ricky.
That's all I got left.
Because I mean, Calvin Heiberg needs to get
or. Hear me out. Back from a European vacation, Paul comes in like a rocket and takes the FMPO field by storm.
FMPO field, that's right.
Fucking MPO field.
Man, you are going to like my hot take.
Here we go.
Are we ready to get into those or what?
Let's get into the hot takes.
So, our discussion topic for today, hot takes that could make the disc golf community, local or national, want to waterboard us.
Oh God!
So I'll start light. You know, I think Mandos get a bad rap. I really do. I think that
what
everyone says. Well, if you got to put a Mando there, it's a bad hole. Blah 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 blah. Look, we think about our local course here, Derby, hole 18. Double Mando all the way down. Granted, you kind of have to play all the way down because it's a whole row of trees.
Okay, yeah.
But
it's a huge area to throw in.
Now let's think about hole 3 at Clap West, which is now going to be hole 1 at Clap West. That hole was designed to be a tunnel shot. But because there's no Mandos, how many people do you see play the tunnel? Not very many.
I would never play that tunnel because it's
there's no Mandos.
So stupid.
Because there's no Mandos.
Listen.
That hole was designed to be a tunnel shot.
People, let me lay this hole out for you. Okay. Sidewalk left, tight left. Super tight left.
That's hole 2. Hole 3. There's no sidewalk anywhere close.
Oh, you're talking about west. Okay, my bad. For some reason I was thinking east side, hole 15.
Yeah,
well, the one with the double sidewalk. Okay. Yeah, no. I agree with you on that. You know,
holes that are designed for people to play a certain way, and they don't put Mandos.
I would agree with you on that. No, I would give you that one for sure.
Now,
because that should be a par 4 double Mando.
I think so. Yeah,
for sure. Agree with you.
Yeah,
100%.
That's why make it still a double Mando and call it a par 3, but shorten it up.
Sure. That's why people don't take it though. It's a par 3, and if you put a Mando there, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's not impossible,
but it's extremely difficult
for people that can beeline one right down the middle.
Even then, it's still extremely difficult.
Hard. Yeah, you're throwing 400
dead straight on a line,
maybe 12 feet? 7 feet high,
12 feet at the highest.
I'm saying your disc has to be like 7 to 8 feet high.
Yeah,
but it can't raise higher than that.
Now, do I think that there's definitely pushing the limits of Mandos? Like, I really think that the Portland Open. With how many Mandos they
have
on
holes. That's too much. I don't care what anybody says.
It's too much, yeah. It's way too much.
Especially on a ball golf course. What are you Mandoing out?
Now, I do think that from time to time, it's okay for the course designer to say, hey, I designed this hole to be shot with this shot. I don't want you to break this damn hole. Now, every once in a while, it is fun for us as spectators, it's fun for us as players to experiment, to throw a shot like a high hyzer, a high turnover, a nice fucking roller, and just have fun with it. But when it comes to playing a difficult hole, the Mandos make it difficult because it makes you throw a shot that you normally would not throw. Yeah. And that's where I think Mandos get a bad rap.
The one hole that pisses me off that's Mando in Wichita now is Oak hole 7.
Don't say now. I mean, it's always been
that way. It's always been that way, but it pisses me off. The the Mando there is so that you don't go over the road, right? Whatever. But both holes, if you have to go over the road, you have to sky high through them.
Yeah.
So at no point in time is any car ever in danger, ever. But they haven't trimmed the left side trees at all. All the trees now are grown to almost full-size trees on the right. The line to hit is minuscule at best. So at that point, the only line to throw is a flex flick or a flex forehand.
Right.
That's the only line to throw. I've tried every trick in the book.
Or thumber.
I've tried every trick in the book to throw a regular backhand. It's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible to get a backhand through that hole. Unless you're laying up, and then you lay up again, and then you try to take a three.
Yeah.
And now, they've made it even longer.
Oh, dude, that new hole is fucking awesome.
It is. I like the hole, too.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, awesome. I just don't understand how anybody's supposed to, an am person, is supposed to get it there if they only have a backhand.
Not every hole is designed to be birdied.
No.
And I think,
but it's a hard three.
I remember when I was playing MA2.
I just don't think the Mando should be there. Because you, at no point in time are you ever getting... You can't anymore. Because those trees are there. Right? So you have to go over those trees and sky hyzer.
Well, now with the hole being so much further, you can just hit it harder and get it past the trees. When it's in that shorter location, now the middle location, I don't know if the sleeve is still there.
It is.
So if they move it back to there, you still have to judge your distance because you can't go too deep or else you have no look at that pin.
But what I'm saying is, at no point are you putting cars in danger.
Right, yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that.
So that Mando is null and void in my mind now. But I get it back in the day because back in the day, you could take that skip off the road because there's no trees there. You can get an easy skip over. And at worst, you're sitting in the bushel of trees looking at a two, you know, scrambling. So I get it. You want to take that out, makes it harder. With everything that's gone in, the whole left side's completely cut out. I don't see the reason for the Mando. That's my only argumentative Mando here, at least.
The only reason why I still kind of like it is because you were talking about certain players not having the flick to go for it.
I don't.
And if certain players don't have the flick, then it's just simple pitch hyzer, just to get out to the middle.
You're testing that Mando if you do.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't have the Mando, it's just a simple pitch hyzer. You just pitch hyzer, high hyzer with something stable land in the middle.
I agree.
But now
it's further, so you would have to pump a drive like 300 into those trees, and you have to get real lucky not to hit a tree.
Yeah, but now that you have to go further, you can just hit it even harder outside the Mando because it's not there. Or if it would not be there, instead of just taking a putter or mid-range and try to put it as far as you can straight.
Sure.
That's what I did when I played MA2. I played that hole for par, even when in that middle location.
I played it for par.
I took a putter, and I took a putter.
I played par.
Yeah, I was like, fuck that shit, I ain't got a flick.
In fact, half the time, I'm not even upset if I go left into those trees up there, because usually there's still a better shot. Than if I land in the evergreens or whatever they're called.
But I can definitely see your argument of that Mando kind of being out of date.
I mean, even with those trees so high, I don't even know if you can get a sky hyzer over that Mando.
You can. With a good wind, you can.
For sure. It makes it a lot harder. That's a skilled shot now.
It's not a skilled shot. Especially with the wind that we normally get here with a south wind. That's going to push it back in bounds all day, every day.
Oh, I'm sure I'll get a bunch of people telling me shut the fuck up, but whatever.
But no, I do kind of agree with that, but I think Mandos get a bad rap, period. What's going to get you waterboarded?
I'll start it off simple and easy. I won't go to my original hot take yet. I'll make that my second one.
What a guy.
Oh, beer.
I believe that there should be more professional, amateur tournaments that are team-based.
Elaborate.
So, right now, as we stand, PGA does not acknowledge any team-based rankings, right? There's no such thing as a doubles rating, a triples rating, whatever. Obviously, I'm talking about doubles because that's how disc golf rolls. I wouldn't be opposed to a four-man scramble team. Kind of like how you see...
That'd be fucking kind of
like how you see ball golf tournaments for AMs, mostly. You don't see... unless you see Champions Cup with the U.S. versus England.
Ryder Cup, sorry.
President's Cup, something like that.
I think that there should be a live golf style PDGA rated or AM rated type thing. Go, I get it. A single player, you know, who's the best, blah, 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 whatever. But you can make a team.
That'd be so fucking cool.
You can make, just like in the NBA or NFL, you can make a team to go against these goats that everybody calls them, right? Fuck. There's teams that beat Tom Brady. There's teams that beat Wayne Gretzky. There's teams that beat these goats that everybody talks about, right? I want to see that dynamic. I want to see how teams work together, how teams get built, how teams get everything against the top-rated guys.
I mean, that's kind of what we get with the All-Star Weekend.
That's not as fun to me.
That's kind of fun.
That's one time a year. It's two teams that they pick.
I mean, three. I know two. Yeah, you're right.
So it's not exactly what I'm talking about. But also, a rated.
It's doubles. There should be a doubles ratings type thing.
I mean, there is, but there isn't. It's like we have, was it the 1880?
No, yeah, there's that. But I'm saying, like, you should be able to pick a teammate, and then your team gets rated.
That would be kind of cool, but teams change all the time because you can have person A and person B, well, and then person A goes plays with person C. You
take into account the rating as it is.
Right.
And then, depending on how they do as a team and everybody else how they do as a team, just like how they do right now, all the ratings go into effect, all the weather, everything, the way it's played, all goes into effect. And then now, as that team, you get a rated round.
What's hard about that is that you would almost have to commit to that team. Like, you almost couldn't play with another player if it was doubles. Or you couldn't play with another team if it was triples or quads.
As an AM, sure. As a pro, sure, I get that. But as an AM, you can switch it up all the time.
No, you can't, because you can. In most cases, you would only have time for one round anyways.
But we're talking about just one tournament, right?
Sure. So you're going to leave your boy out on another tournament and go play with person
C? You could.
C?
You could.
Fuck that, dude. I tell you what, if you and me partnered up and then you left to go play with Harp, I'm fucking pissed. I'm like, fuck you. I guess I'm going to go find someone else to fucking play with.
Sure.
Stop. No.
This would be the coolest thing that they could add to disc golf. I think it would make it a little more. Here's the problem. And I know what people are going to say. Here's the problem. Stops development, right? Because you're now relying on other people, right. And you don't have to be as persistent in practice or all that type of stuff. I get that. But listen, as people that are getting older and everybody else that are getting older, MPO is kind of out of reach for a lot of people. Am I right?
You're right.
So give the boys a chance
to
take on the field and have some fun in a team-based event. Just imagine we could have a party card team. Us four go out. We play in these tournaments against other groups of four, other podcasts, other sports groups, other companies. It'd be pretty cool, my opinion.
That's a good opinion. I don't like the whole grading system behind it. I don't like that. My second one is for all the locals. I've said it before. Say it again. I'll say it till I die. Or until something changes. If anything ever changes. Herman Hill is still the worst course in Wichita. My fucking mind.
Nope, I disagree.
Urban Hill is the worst course in Wichita.
It's going to change here in the next, about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But right now, Clap West and East are both worse than Herman Hill.
Hey, just because they hurt your pride and my pride, they're still
better. They don't just hurt my pride. They hurt my rating.
I'm not going to disagree with that one either.
In fact, some would say they kill my rating.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone. I don't want anyone to do this. I have said, and I said this in the group chat, I would rather play Herman Hill right now than
I don't know if that's the beard coming back up or the fact that you just said you'd rather play fucking Herman Hill. Herman Hill is
awful. Last time I played Herman Hill in a league, I shot minus like 7.
I'm going to be sick. Because you keep on saying Herman Hill is good.
Herman Hill is not bad.
That is fucking disgusting.
Now, if you want to ask me, is playing 4 rounds in a weekend good or bad? In a 2-day span, good or bad? I'm going to say no. It's bad.
Fuck Herman Hill.
There's a reason why.
Hear me out. It's not part of keeper.
Hear me out. If I had to play it one time, not bad.
If I have to play one round in a Herman for a tournament,
not
sure.
Bad.
I wouldn't mind it.
If I had to play 2 rounds, there,
I'm out. Yep.
I mean, I would do it, but it's just gonna.
No, I would not. I would not do it. I did it twice in 1 year where I played Doodah and I had to play 2 rounds there, 2 rounds at Oak, and then
You know what my real problem is with Herman Hill?
Too forehand friendly. Don't like it.
It is. But I feel like it's doable.
It is doable.
When they don't make everything super long.
Here's the thing.
And I'm talking to a lot of people out there. If you don't make it super long, then you get everybody pissed off because it's not super long.
All the pros, they're short. Oh, why is it everything short?
So we're living in a world where there's half the population saying,
more than half.
Every single hole should not be like 450 to 500. I agree with that. There's another group of the population half that's saying everything should be like 450 to 500 to 600, all that crap.
Razzle dazzle.
I mean, I'm 50-50 on it. I would like to see a shorter course. Obviously, that's going to lead to higher scoring, so it really doesn't matter, you know, in my divisions. But I don't always think.
I just like balance, and I think that's what you like.
I like balance. If 9 holes are long and 9 holes are short, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Shoot, if eight holes are short and 9 holes are long, and 10 holes are long, then I'm fine with that. It's hit and miss. What I hate to do is my arm only goes so far. You give me 380 to 500 on every single hole, and it just makes the whole round seem like a drag.
380 to – that's a huge fucking range, 380 to 500.
Yeah.
380 is doable.
380 is doable.
Yeah. 450 is doable.
No, I agree.
500 and how we're pushing that shit.
Yeah.
For multiple holes.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just saying – okay, but I'm saying a technical shot shouldn't be looked at as a bad thing. A 320 technical shot shouldn't be looked at as a bad thing.
Depending on the
course. In other words, okay, so like when we're playing Supreme at Clap, there's that skip shot towards that creek that is surrounded by trees. You know what I'm talking about? Or West 5, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah,
downhill,
yeah.
Through the tree. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's a shorter hole, right? It's like 350-ish, maybe. It might be shorter than that, actually.
From West, it's not even 300.
Yeah, it's a shorty, but you have to make the decision. You know, you can go the turnover mid. You can go the flick route to the left. You can go the skip shot to the right. Either way, no matter what you do, you can still hit the tree in front of you. You can still hit the trees that are guardians, all that. There's nothing wrong with that type of hole. There's a lot of pros that throw 450 that could still struggle on that hole. Am I correct?
Sure, yeah.
Because they hit one tree and that's a 60-foot putt.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that. So when people complain about everything's not long enough, that's just saying I struggle
from mid-range or C2. So I need my arm to carry the load.
We were just talking about this in the shop today. About certain players.
And I wasn't even there.
About certain players having an advantage on certain courses.
And I wasn't even there. Because
they throw far and they don't know how to throw just 300-foot shots. Get on to your second take.
Second take's a little... it's wild because I brought this up last week and Nate called me crazy. And that's what kind of led into this argument. That's why...
You're about to get water.
I said, let's do this. The boxes that are underneath baskets...
Oh, this thing.
The boxes that are underneath baskets in coverage and other tournaments are cheat codes. Here's why.
I like them.
Here's why. That pole
at
most is like 3 inches in diameter, maybe.
Not even.
Yeah, not even that. So
that's 3 inches, your boy is fucking hung.
So that being said, they add an entire box underneath this basket that is literally the same size as the cage, just waiting there to get slapped. And at most, if it gets smacked at full power, it might bounce back 10, 15 feet. Whereas if you are throwing a full power shot and it skips and doesn't hit a basket and doesn't hit that box and it doesn't smack the pole, luckily, it's gone. It's like 20. And the reason why this gets brought up is I watched a video of best shots, you know, and like exceedingly getting better, you know, shots like
right,
that on YouTube.
Good old compilation.
And you would not believe how many shots just smack the box and sit. And I'm like, that's 50 feet past if that didn't hit that box.
So in the instance that you're talking about, like, an actual shot, an actual throw, I do think, like, yeah, it's kind of a cheat code. Yeah. But it's
on a putt, no. I mean, you're not slamming.
On a putt. It's awesome because then it allows them to be aggressive. And that's what we want to see as spectators. We want to see them be aggressive on putts they normally want.
The argument always has been we want to see the FPO struggle more.
MPO. Or FPO. Yeah, it's
both.
I like to see
pros. We want to see the open divisions struggle more, correct? That's why we're adding more Mandos, more OBs, all this stuff, correct?
Right.
You put a giant box saying, hey, just slam your disc into here. You can just tap in right afterwards.
Yeah, but that's a choice that they get to make. I'm going to lay up into this box, or I'm going to aggressive run it, and if I miss, I'm going to hit this box. Or if that box isn't there, I'm going to fucking send it all the way past.
You know what? While we're at it, I'm going to also say this. If you put a flag on top of the cage, also cheating.
Okay. Whoa.
Also cheat code.
No, stop.
Yes. Get out. Because you run the putt, you smack that flag, now you're next to the dang basket. Dude,
so you want to be penalized for barely missing?
Yes. I mean, as in a tournament, in the open division, absolutely.
Look, everyone else has got to play on the same basket.
The argument, listen. This is the first time it's ever been like, let's make it easier for the pros. Everything is Mandos and OB lines and all this crap to make it harder. And it's like, let's put a net in front of the basket.
Let's put a box.
Yeah, let's put a box. Let's put a net over the top of the cage so the disc doesn't go too far. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. I think it's a happy medium because there are some people that like scoring. There are some people that like to watch aggressive lines and aggressive putts, which I don't care so much about watching a good scoring and high scoring because I like to watch them struggle. I like seeing pros be aggressive, but not always being penalized for missing by a little. That's why I think the box is a good idea.
Well,
because they didn't miss by a little.
Half the time off the tee box, they miss by a little and they're still penalized because they go OB.
Well, yeah, that's because the OB, but we're not talking about OB. We're talking about these boxes. Okay? We're talking about the boxes. A little square rectangle things that go up and go and cover the pole.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not missing by a lot if you're getting to there.
And not to mention, on the raised baskets, they put these boxes around them too.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And If you miss low, just a little low on those,
that's good. You're not going anywhere.
Hitting the box, you're going 20, 30 feet past.
Yeah, fuck that shit. No.
You said make it harder for the open players.
It's already elevated.
Now it's so easy.
Just slam the fucking box.
No, because they still run it and they go all the way fucking past it.
Upshots, slam it right into the box. What doesn't matter. We can throw as hard as you want to right in the box.
If you get hit, Cody, I want to go get
if one you of these ask boxes. Me, if you ask me, we're if you go ask out me to go hit a box, feet. If you ask me to hit a box, of course, I can't hit it.
Okay, so it's not fucking
easy.
But if
I ask Paul McBeth, hey, I want you to hit this box, he's like, okay.
Yeah, and if we
take nine out of ten times,
if
he hits
we
the box.
If we take the nine box away, if we take the box away, he still lands within 15 feet.
Nine times out of ten. Listen to this. 9 out of 10 times, if I take that box, I go, "Hey, I need you to hit this." He hits it.
He hits it 10 times.
Okay, I like that. If I put that pole in the middle of a field and say, "I need you to hit this," he hits it maybe six. Five, six times, maybe. Yeah,
not even that. We're talking about a pole in a fucking box.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, can he land in the same vicinity as that box?
That's not the
question. Absolutely. Now, is it going to skip away? Sure.
That's not the question.
That is the question.
Is hitting the box.
Yeah.
He hits the box.
He's going to hit the box.
Okay.
Then you say he's going to hit the fucking pole. Like,
he's not going to hit the pole.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. The box is a cheat code.
Box is not a cheat code. One, it's there.
It's like a donut hole inside of a donut hole.
The box is good.
The box is bad. You know why the box is there? You know why the box is there? Just for sponsorship. That is the only reason that box is there.
It's good for disc golf. It brings in money.
Or bad for disc golf. Brings in money.
It's also good for disc golf because it allows players to be aggressive with less penalty.
I guess the only place that everybody believes that disc golfers should be more aggressive and not be penalized is on the putting green.
Yeah. Off the tee, penalize the shit
out
of them.
That's ridiculous. Okay. So penalize the big arms. Everybody that's good at putting, you know, you're good.
No, it doesn't have to be big arms. It's a 300-foot hole. It's fucking tight as shit. Uh-huh. Don't miss your line.
Uh-huh. Okay, whatever.
I had one of those incidents happen today on a long hole.
Just move on to your next one.
You ready?
What stupid ass shit are you gonna say?
I've said it before on this podcast. I've kind of insinuated it and kind of led on to it in the middle of this podcast that we recorded today. Paul McBeth.
He's gonna win his 7th title this year.
Is washed.
Jesus Christ. Shut
yes,
up.
Yes, he won Worlds last year. Yes, he won USDGC 2 years ago. But Cody, you know me. What have you done for me lately? Let me tell you what he's done for me lately.
He's played in Europe.
5 Pro Tour events. He hasn't even played in Europe yet. He doesn't play till next weekend
Europe. Yeah, actually, he's playing right now in Europe.
No, he doesn't play till next weekend.
He's playing right now.
I don't think he plays till
next week. He plays right now.
No, I don't think he's playing till next
week. I know that because he was on the Grip 6 Pick'ems this weekend.
Oh, okay. Cool. So, out of 5 Pro Tour events, his best finish is 6th, and that was... LVC.
Cool. He always has a slow start to the season. Always.
Not only was it a slow start, it got progressively worse. He started 6th.
He always has a slow start.
And then he finished 10th. Out of that, he hasn't placed in the top 10. 13th, 15th,
cool.
25th.
Cool story, bro.
In the first PDGA major that
God,
he played
God, I hope
in,
he wins.
He finished
20th. God, all you freaking Tatar dick riders, and all of you are hating on Paul.
He goes overseas for something, in search of something, and I do. I hope Paul finds whatever it is that he's looking for over there. Because he plays 7 European Tour events, not including the European Championship, which is a PDGA major. If he doesn't win at least 3 of those, he's washed. Because no Pro Tour players are over there. He's playing against a bunch of fucking scrubs that wouldn't last in the Pro Tour over here. That's why they're still in the European Tour.
And what if he comes back and fucking destroys everybody? What happens then?
Then I guess I'm wrong about him being washed.
What happens then?
Then
what
I just
the same thing
I just told you
that happened last year happens again. Where he started off slow.
He didn't start slow
last
year.
And then he comes back and he just says, you know what? it don't matter until I win.
He didn't start slow last year. He didn't start this slow.
Takes out his metaphorical disc penis and just lays it on the table.
Gonna have to edit that one out. Are we gonna do it? Nah. Nah.
That's the dude's not washed. How can you be 1 year removed from a title and be washed?
Oh, yeah. He started off so slow last year in 2022. Started off the season with a win in Waco. Finished second at the Open of Belmont. Took ninth at the Champions Cup.
Ninth.
Took second at Jonesboro.
Saw a W.
Yeah, he started way slower this year than he did last year. He's already got more.
One starts the year. One starts the year, and you're jumping off the bandwagon. You know what? You're no longer a Paul McBeth fan. You are no longer a Paul McBeth fan.
Hey, I call it as I see it.
I calls it as I see it.
I'm just saying. I said he was washed after he got married.
When Tom Brady left New England and he didn't win a Super Bowl, was he washed?
Yes.
Did he win the Super Bowl the very next year?
Yes.
Must be so fucking washed. Everyone was calling this. Paul's washed. James Conner beat him in the world's blah, blah, blah. What'd he do?
He won it next year.
Won it the next year. He has one bad year this year. Guess what? That's going to feed his hunger, man. It's going to feed his hunger. And just wait. Just wait. Paul's a shark. Once he gets a... He is going to smell that blood. He's going to take him out.
I don't think he has to worry about James Conrad. I mean, he's...
Listen to me right now.
All over.
I'm going to tell you this right now. All these young kids, all these guys in here, don't stand a little bit in the same realm as the three bigs from old age. None of them. None of them even touch them.
Who's the third?
Well, the guy that's injured right now, but...
How are you saying Eagles from the old realm?
Because he was also fighting with Paul and Ricky when they were fighting back and forth.
You do realize, like, Simon is fucking our age, and Eagles is like barely 22.
Shut your mouth.
23.
Shut your fucking mouth. Fine, you want to just narrow down to two? None of these guys hold. These guys should be getting water. For Paul and Ricky. They're nowhere close. Not even close. If you take away Lyme disease from Ricky, he's one of the greatest of all time. Period. Hands down.
I think if Ricky doesn't get sick, we're not even talking about Paul anymore.
That's a hot take. If Paul doesn't lose to James Conrad on the luckiest shot in disc golf history,
we're not even talking about anybody else. You're right. But it happened.
We're talking about back-to-back-to-back world champions. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about the helmet catch from Eli. You know what I'm saying?
That's the first thing that came into my mind when you brought this up. But it happened. We can argue all the what ifs.
Nobody in this field touches these two until they win at least two worlds. At least.
What have you done for Paul McBeth is running. He's running away from the comp.
Don't even say he doesn't running. He's not running.
He's running.
He got tired of playing the same crappy courses all over again.
It's not the same Portland Open. Two brand new courses. Cascade Challenge.
It makes sense for me for him to skip DDO. Because DDO has been a shit show ever since they changed it to DDO.
I wouldn't disagree with that. And the course really hasn't changed that much.
In fact, I'm going to say it right now. DGPT Tour.
Pro Tour.
Has been a shit show for the past 2 to 3 years.
Hasn't been a shit show.
It's been a shit show.
And
they're doing a whole bunch of shit. They don't even know what's going on. They're adding a whole bunch of rules. Adding a bunch of bull crap.
What rules have they added?
They don't even know what's going on.
What rules have they added?
Bunch of garbage.
What rules have the Pro Tour added?
Bunch of garbage.
Yeah, that's what I fucking thought. Over here fucking spitting bullshit.
I'm not spitting bullshit. I'm spitting the facts.
You're right. You're throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks.
It's sticking.
It ain't sticking. It's sticking worth
like al dente pasta.
Nah, that pasta ain't cooked yet, son.
Put it back in the fucking pot. That pasta's sticking to the wall.
But you did bring up kind of another hot take that I kind of wanted to bring up. Is that I personally am tired of seeing the exact same courses year in, year out. I would much rather see the courses change from year to year. I'm not saying completely change, but I would like to see, you know, slightly different layouts, a different pin, a different
tee. I feel like at that point you're making a young man's game.
A what?
A young man's game.
Dude, I get tired of watching the same courses every year. You know,
there's some iconic courses. You were the one making the argument about iconic courses getting kicked out.
Yes, and they've had to change to get back on tour, and they have made changes to get back on the pro tour.
Two of the most iconic courses this year, you're both mad they got kicked out.
Yes, and they've made changes on the Silver Series and not Silver Series.
First of all, let me be honest with you right now. Disc golf is the only
tour series that two different divisions get you points in the major points race. For example, you don't
see Xfinity races in NASCAR count towards the Cup Series.
I don't know what that means.
Cup Series is the big boys. Xfinity is the little boys. Silver Series shouldn't count towards DGPT.
But it's all DGPT.
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be. Majors should be the only thing counting towards points.
Well, majors are PDGA majors. They're different. You want to know, because ball golf is the same way. You have PGA majors, which are their whole own thing. Which
are better.
And then you have the FedEx Cup, which is basically the PGA Pro Tour. I mean, that is basically the principle that the Disc Golf Pro Tour has followed. They have the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
Following on the coattails of PGA.
Then they have the PDGA majors, which are, you know, basically the same entity. Same, but different.
It comes down to who's playing the most.
But what I like about the Silver Series is it gives smaller guys, the not quite touring pros, a chance to get into these tournaments and compete against some of these touring pros that want to play the Silver Series.
Well, the argument
that's why
is,
they made the Silver the Series worth is, more points.
The argument is like two or three years ago, right, when Paul was winning like every major, right? Guess who was leading points? Not Paul. Because all these other guys are playing every single Silver Series and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Why are those guys rewarded for placing in things that don't even matter?
Why is Paul not playing them?
Because he doesn't need to.
What do you mean he doesn't need to? Does he not want to win the points race?
No. Points race means nothing.
Depends.
Calvin
Heinberg's contract says that it is worth something. That's why he plays in them.
Well, that's because Calvin's not proven.
Calvin is proven.
No, he's not. That's why it's in his contract. You think Paul signed a contract saying I had this many points for $10 million? No. They just said, Paul, we're going to give you $10 million.
Actually,
they said to Calvin Heinberg, they said, hey, we need you to go all these tournaments because you're not proven.
That's not exactly what they said. They said, we're going to give you a crap ton of money, and then if you want more money, you're going to win the Pro Tour events. Okay. Yes. Yes, I will.
Yeah. And that's what a chump would do.
Hey, I'm just saying, pay for performance.
I would have said, as Calvin Heinberg, I would have said, you give me the money or I don't play.
If a player told me that, I said, get the fuck out.
I'd be like, cool, I'm getting money somewhere else.
Because
we already know ANOVA contracts are trash anyway.
That's why they only have one guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
What was your third hidden hot take?
Gosh, I've lost it in this argument because you pissed me off so much.
Oh, I pissed you off. Oh, it's all my fault. I'll give you a second to kind of think about it because,
I had it.
You had it?
I had one. That was really good.
All right. Well, think about it because we're kind of on our way out. You've got just a couple seconds to kind of think about it.
I'm drawing a blank. You've
got absolutely nothing.
The only thing I can tell you is now, out of all things, I hope Paul McBeth comes out of nowhere
he's not.
And wins.
It would be great.
And I hope Ricky wins.